Give Bennett something to drink.
All right, Tavosai, let's begin. So we're gonna do two pieces tonight. We're gonna do a little bit from Pu'ulas HaTzadik, which is it's page one, and then we're gonna do a little bit from the Kutei Maharan. So remember, again, the last time we do a little bit from Pu'ulas HaTzadik because it's the stories of Rabbi Nachman, and the truth is, it just gives us a little bit of insight just into the life of Rabbi Nachman. Now we're not even up to Rabbi Nachman. We're before Rabbi Nachman. So remember again, the last thing we left off with was that the Baal Shem Tov's Talmud, Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker, had wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. Remember again, he was widowed, his wife passed away, they had a little boy. Remember what was the little boy's name? Was Simcha. And Simcha, Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker makes Aliyah, he goes to Eretz Yisrael, and he leaves his son behind. It's an interesting thing, he leaves his son behind. He leaves his son behind, and his son is being raised in the home of the Baal Shem Tov's daughter, Adel. So now, take a look. So look at paragraph Yud Beis on your sheet. See, he says, "Kishegia yelat Simcha legila bar mitzvah." So in Simcha, now remember, understand, Simcha's mother passed away, and now his father has moved to Eretz Yisrael. So when Simcha reached the age of bar mitzvah, v'chein habas fega, now remember again, Adel, the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov, has a daughter of her own by the name of Fega. So little Simcha, right, the son of Rav Nachman Hari Denker, is growing up in the home of the Baal Shem Tov's daughter, and the Baal Shem Tov has a granddaughter who's the same age as Simcha. So Simcha and Fega, so you already know where this is going. So Simcha, the son of Rav Nachman Hari Denker, and Fega. By the way, it just tells you, by the way, the way shidduchim are supposed to occur, right, in a natural, normal, organic fashion. So what happens? So they're growing up in the same house, and when Simcha reach the age of bar mitzvah, as niskra tzadekes maras Adol b'divrei Aviya she'amar hayelat hazeh motzechein be'enai. And Adol remembered what her father, remember again a couple of weeks ago, it was more than a couple of weeks ago already, we saw that when the Baal Shem Tov saw little Simcha, he was a baby at that point in time, so he said to his daughter, this boy finds favor in my eyes. So the Baal Shem Tov was always very measured with his words. So Adol never really knew what to do with that statement, but she remembered it now. And as Simcha is growing up in her home, so she realized, V'shala la'atzma, lama hotzar chabib ha'kadosh lomar li dvarmei. Why did my father have to say these words? And Baal Shem Tov was not a schmoozer. So if Baal Shem Tov said these words, why did he have to say these words? So he says, it must be because my father was hinting to me that I should marry off my daughter Fega to young Simcha. Therefore, again, so I'll say they're both 13 years old. Right? So, by the way, if you notice again, the Baal Shem Tov already realized this was going to Ruach HaKodesh. Baal Shem Tov had Ruach HaKodesh. So remember again, he already said to Rav Nachman Hari Denker, when Rav Nachman Hari Denker got married, remember, the Baal Shem Tov was the Shadchan for Rav Nachman Hari Denker and his wife, Zichron Livracha. So you remember again, when Rav Nachman Hari Denker said to Baal Shem Tov, what could I give you as Demei Shadchan? So, you know, what could I give you for your matchmaking fee? Similar to what Baal Shem Tov said, that Emir Hashem, your child, or marry my grandchild. And sure enough, again, the Ruach HaKodesh of the Baal Shem Tov came true. The son of Rav Nachman Hari Denker, Simcha, marries the granddaughter of the Baal Shem Tov, Fega.
And these two young women are 13 years old.
Well, two young men. Man and woman.
And the men, sir, and they got married at 13.
That was not uncommon. That was not.
Was
mayor's an authority on this?
Is there a reason why the Baal Shem Tov wouldn't have said just directly?
So this is an interesting thing. They're always asking a question, which is like, you know, sometimes you see this, by the way, by like the words of tzaddikim, like that tzaddikim will make a veiled reference to something. And, you know, why not just say it straight out? Why don't you just say, you're going to have a son, he's going to be named Simcha, and he's going to marry my granddaughter named Fega. So I don't know the answer, but I think the answer might be that tzaddik, you know, in life, you can't ever expect someone to script life for you. So there are ramazim. You know, there are hints here, there are hints there, there are hints in the words of tzaddikim, there are hints in life circumstances. But the truth is, life is also about charting your own path and figuring things out. So you know, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh could go ahead and drop a hint, but Lamaya says it's up to his daughter to figure out, is this really the right thing or not? Right, that's true also. That's true also, right. How would it look like if he makes a definitive statement that this is what's going to be true also?
Well, like the Rosh said last time, that just like with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that there has to be this concept of, if he had Nisim, and this would be like the gather of a Nes, then, you know, it wouldn't be a challenge for people. So people who have Ruach HaKadosh, you have to assume that they view it as a responsibility.
It's true.
But they can't just go, you know, telling all the secrets.
It's absolutely true. Otherwise, there's no Bechira. It's absolutely true. Thing. Absolutely true. So let's just take a look. Just take a look at your gimel, then we'll go on to Likutei Moharan. Achar shenisu, after they got married, lo hayu lahem banim, they didn't have children. V'haysa tzadekes maras feiga, regila leilech tamid al tzion zekeina v'ashem tev HaKadosh, v'spalel al sham shetiske lebanim. This is amazing. So the granddaughter used to go to the grave of her children. And indeed, this is indeed what occurred. Venis Abra Vialda Ben. She became pregnant. She had a son, Vukara Shemo Yisrael, Ashem Zekina Bashem Teva Kadesh Zechusa Yagin Aleinu. And what happens? She, so the girl, Fega, and her husband, Simcha, are blessed with a son, and they decide to name him Yisrael. After who? After the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the Fega's grandfather. So we'll stop over here with the Pula Satzadik. We'll continue. Yudal tells an incredible Ma'isa as well. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with it next week. So turn over the page for just a moment. We're going to go back to Likutei Moharan. Now, truth is, we're only going back to Likutei Moharan for 1 week, because Emirat Hashem, next week we're going to start Pesach. And I think we'll have two more Shiurim Emirat Hashem before Pesach. So we'll get in a little bit of, there's a beautiful, beautiful Haggadah. It's Haggadah Shal Pesach Breslov. Somebody went ahead and took all of Rabbi Nachman's Torah and just put it by the different pieces of the Haggadah. So we're going to focus on that a little bit in the next couple weeks. But for this week, I wanted to share with you what I thought was just an incredible piece. An incredible piece by the Rebbe. So take a look. It's on page 2. Do you have enough? Do you have a sheet down there? Shalom Aleichem. So let's take a look. This is towards the end of Maimer Aleph. We had started Maimer Aleph a long time ago. And I just want to close it out, at least partially. So if you look by the paragraph that begins, Vizeh Perish. So on your sheet is lettered paragraph A. So the Rebbe says something. This is just a very, you have to understand, I think I mentioned this before, but sometimes the beauty of Chassidus is in its simplicity. Is in its pashtos. You know, meaning I often have this struggle. I'll just tell you this, you know, Baruch Hashem. So our boys are in the Mechinah strong, and they come home and they give Divrei Torah. So, you know what happens like when yeshiva boys give Divrei Torah? So there's like a chap and a this and a that, and you know, and it's great. It's lumdish and it's wonderful. And it's of course a source of nachas because there's ma'ayin in it and it's this, that, and it's beautiful. But you realize that there's something beautiful in the complexity, and there's something beautiful in the simplicity. There's something beautiful sometimes in just the simple message, the simple Torah. And when I say simple message, that doesn't mean the Torah's simple. Sometimes the message could be a simple message, but yet again, we know sometimes the most complex things in life are those things that are quite obvious and straightforward. That's part of the beauty of this piece. So take a look over here. The Rebbe quotes the Gemara of Baba Basra. It's actually a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara says, "Hai Gala." So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said, this is, you can see Baba Basra Ayin Gimel. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana makes the following statement: "Hai Gala, this wave, the mitba l'sefinta, that has the ability to sink a ship." So this big wave that has the ability to sink a ship. He says, "Ki tzutzisa denura chavarta bereisha." Literally again, let's just translate the words. So tzutzisa denura, so literally means, which one to go through? It's a better chair. Look, he quotes the Rashbam. Perash Rashbam, tzutzisa denura is eish levana. Tzitzisa, there's a white fire. Tzitzusa dinura chavarta bereisha. It has a white fire at its head. So again, on a basic level, the imagery that he's describing is a very large wave. I don't know what you call it. You know, when the wave begins to, is it crest? Is it curl? Is that the technical term? It's called curl. Crest.
pretty confident.
All right, good. Ben is pretty confident. He's, curl it is. Curl it is. So when the wave begins to curl, so again, you see the, although I think it's crest, but you see the foam. You see the foam coming out over there.
That's a crest.
So what happens? So says Rabbi Barbarchana, there's this large wave that looks like it has the ability to sink the ship, and it has the appearance of a white fire at its head. So the Rashbam says, Eish Levana, there's a white fire, Umaloch Maziku. And this is a destructive angel. So what could we do to offset the negative impact of the wave? Umachinale ba'alafsa dechokik ale eya asher eya. And the only thing to do to combat this wave, machinale, means you could hit it, be'ilafsa, with the stick, dechokikale, that's written on it, ehye asher ehye. So of course, ehye asher ehye means, I will be what I will be. Remember, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu identified himself to Moshe Rabbeinu at the sneh, at the burning bush. When Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're going to ask me who you are. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, just tell them, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. Tell them that I will be what I will be. So look what the Rebbe says. So first of all, so you know that whenever you see a Gemara like this, something's going on. Right? Something dramatic. Look at the Rebbe's interpretation. I think this is so profound. He says, Gala Hoa Yetzara. I'm now in paragraph B. So Gala, the wave is the Yetzara. So we'll say, first of all, the image is so overwhelming. Right? You know, sometimes, you know, if you ever had like a childhood experience of being by the ocean, especially when you're very little and you see that wave coming and that feeling of helplessness that you're going to get hit by the wave and quite possibly sucked under as well. So the gala, what's the wave? The wave is the Yetzirah. The mitva l'svinta. So what does it mean? It has the ability to sink the ship. Hu achein v'hachashivos. This refers to both, like, to the goodness and the importance. We'll say, so the boat is us. The boat is us. The boat is me, right? The boat represents all of the good things I've done, all of the tov that I've accomplished. Because we'll say, when you understand, Rabbi Nachman is of the opinion that no matter how many times we've made mistakes, we all have incredible tov within us. So what happens? I'm the boat that's filled with all kinds of treasures, that's filled with all kinds of goodness, with chayin, with chashivos. And what's going to happen? Ki ayetzer hara, rotze lahatbia ulahashpil chas v'shalom b'chinas achim v'chashivos shal Yisrael b'chinas malchus dikidusha. So we'll say, so what happens? So the boat, the me, is trudging along the sea, right? And I'm navigating the waters, the tumultuous waters, and what happens? Everything is going so well. I've been on the sea, I've been charting my course for a long time, and then what happens? A big wave, the Yetzirah, wants to overtake me. The Yetzirah is like that wave that simply is going to overtake me. And what happens? So remember, what did the Gemara say? And the wave looks like a white fire on its top. So what does the Yetzirah do? This is amazing. What the Yetzirah does is the Yetzirah has the ability to justify all kinds of things. We actually just had it. We just had it in today's daf. Right, what did we learn in today's daf? So the Gemara says, "Kevan sha'avar adam avera v'nishnas bo na'asis lo keheter." Right, the Gemara says, when a person does an avera and he repeats it, it becomes like keheter, becomes permitted. So the Gemara says, "Keheter sakadaitcha." What do you mean? It becomes like, well, look, keheter, nechshav lo keheter. How does Yitzharah work? So we'll say, Yitzharah is very wise. Yitzharah realizes, Yitzharah can't take a frontal approach. If Yitzharah comes to me and says, "Sin," what's going to happen? We're going to resist that. Because we're good people. I don't want to sin. So instead, what the Yetzirah does is the Yetzirah is able to mask itself in all kinds of things. Sometimes the Yetzirah is able to mask itself and make me think that what's really a sin is not a sin, but rather it's a mitzvah. Sometimes it tells me it's human nature. Sometimes it tells me, you've been doing this already for your whole life. Come on, this is who you are, this is what you are. There's no getting out of it. So says the Rebbe something amazing. I'm on the boat. I'm trying to maintain a good life. I'm trying to maintain my course. In the hold of the boat are all of my masim tovim, all of the good things I've acquired through life. And the big wave of the Yetzirah is about to overtake me. But it's amazing. What does the Yetzirah look like? It doesn't look like a dark, you know, black, menacing wave. What does it look like? It's white, right? It's white. It's pure. It's pristine. It looks nice. It looks holy. It looks like a malach. Umates ha'adam ki'ilu masiso la'asos ha'mitzvah. V'ze b'chinas tzutzisa dinura chavarto eish levana. So sometimes the Yitzhahara has a way of making itself look like white fire. White fire that I've been discussing elsewhere is symbolic, ultimately, again, of Kedusha, of holiness. So the wave is coming, the wave is the Yitzhahara, but it doesn't look like the Yitzhahara. It looks again like something good, it looks like something holy, but yet, again, it's Yilasi, but here's the chap. You understand what's happening over here? You understand the power of the metaphor? The power of the metaphor is, I'm on the boat, right? I'm going ahead and I'm trying to just navigate my way. I have all of my mitzvahs, my mas and tovim in the hold of the boat. The wave is coming. And what do I see? I see there's a beautiful white fire on the top, on the crest, or the curve. Right? And what happens? I'm so distracted by that. It looks so nice, and it looks so pretty that what? That what? That I forget that there's a massive wave that's about to capsize my boat. That's how the Yitzhahara works. You know, the Ramchal talks about this as well. You know how the Yitzhahara gets us to sin? It's an amazing, amazing thing. The Yitzhahara gets us to sin by distracting us. Essentially, the Yitzhahara makes me so busy with other stuff that I don't have the time to really think about the things I should be thinking about. And when my eye is not on the road, my eye is not on the ball anymore, that's when ultimately I make mistakes. So I'm distracted because the top of the wave looks white, looks pure white fire, looks gorgeous, and I don't realize that there's a massive wave about to capsize my boat. He goes on, he says, Umates Adafai, Alpha Pike Malach Mazaku. Therefore the first thing that Abba says is understand, it might look nice, and it might look white, and it might look pure, but at the end of the day, understand that it's a malach mazik. It's a destructive force. And he goes on. So how do you combat? Well, so you understand the power of this. Well, you know what the Rebbe is describing? I saw this piece actually on Monday. I was so inspired by it. Why? Because I was overwhelmed by the fact that here, mamish, like, this is life. This, literally, I don't know about you, I encounter this every single day. Every single day, I think my boat's on the right direction. Every single day, I think, all right, I know exactly where I'm going. I've got my charts out. I've got the compass out. And then what happens? And then there's a wave. And then there's a massive wave. And the difficulty is that sometimes you get capsized by the wave. Sometimes you don't get capsized, but what does happen? You get pushed off course. I mean, see, even if the boat remains upright, I was going east, and now suddenly my boat is facing west, and I don't even know what happened. This is meisim b'chol yom. This is mamish the nature of the human condition. But says it about something amazing. So they both say, you know, in life there are two kinds of people. There are the people who always want to tell you what the problem is, and then the people who tell you what the problem is, but also tell you what the solution is. Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Nachman, Zuchuso Yagin Aleinu, was a person who highlighted the problems, but also highlighted the solution. Sinu, what's the solution? How do I keep my boat on track? So look what he writes. Remember again, a strange Gemara. What do I do? How do I go ahead and combat the wave? I take out my staff. And on the staff is written, Ehaya Asher Ehaya, the name of Hashem. And presumably what I'm doing is I'm taking the staff and I'm hitting the wave. Says the Gemara, Hainu, get ready for this. She'ikr hachna also shal yitzahara hu al yidea Torah. Well, say, it's an incredible Yisrael. And at first it's going to sound so simplistic, but it's not. Do you know how you go ahead and you conquer the yitzahara? The only way to be machnia literally means what? To like humble the Yetzirah, because we'll say that's what it's about. You can't really vanquish the Yetzirah. That you can't do, because the Yetzirah exists. Remember, as long as you're alive, there's a Yetzirah. So what I can do is I could humble it. I can make it subservient to me. So how do I humble the Yetzirah? He says, "Hu ayidei Torah." Very simple, Cheshbon. The way I humble the Yetzirah is through Torah. The more I learn, the more spiritually strong I become, the more I'm able to humble my Yetzirah. He says, and what is the Torah? Shikulo Shemosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember again, the entire Torah, the Baal Shem Torah already talks about this, the Zohar already talks about this, the entire Torah are the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning throughout the Torah are all the different variations of the names of Hashem. V'atorah hi bechinas Vav. The Torah is ultimately referred to as Vav. Why is Torah referred to as Vav? Ki haluchos arkan vav. Birachman vav, because the Gemara again, Bava Basra says that the luchos were 6 amos long and 6 amos wide. Vizeu bechinas alavsa. Alavsa means what? Dahainu maklos, staffs. Now remember again, what when you look at a staff, what letter does it look like? What does it look like? It looks like a vav. He says, dahainu maklos, dechokik ale eye. Vahainu shemos, bechinas Torah, she bechinas vav. Vahavav, hitzuras makel, vehi kula shemos of shela kadosh baruch. So let's listen to this, it's amazing. So I'm on the boat, I'm just amazed by it. Still, I can't stop being amazed by this piece of Torah. So I'm on the boat, I'm just trying to go. I know what I need to do, I know where I need to go. I plotted the course, the wave is about to come. So at first, like, wow, what a pretty wave, it's so nice, because remember, it's white fire, it looks holy, maybe it's a good wave, maybe it's a nice wave, maybe it's a friendly wave. And then as it gets closer, I realize, oh my gosh, I'm in significant trouble, and I'm about to be swept over. So how do I humble the Yitzhahara? How do I humble that wave that's about to capsize my boat? So the Gemara says, you take out a staff that has the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on it. So people say, what's the staff that has the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Rebbe suggests that's a reference to Torah. Because the Torah is called Vav, right? Because the Luchos were 6 amos long and 6 amos wide. Vav equals 6. The entire Torah is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Maklos, so the staff that have the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbe says, refers to Torah. In other words, how do I combat the Yetzer Hara, says the Rebbe? Through learning. When I learn, I bolster myself spiritually, and the more I learn, the stronger I am. The stronger I am, the more I have the ability to navigate away from the wave and to humble the wave before me. Hainu, Shatora HaKidosha, Hi Machnia Si Yitzhara. What it teaches us is that Holy Torah has the ability to humble the Yitzhara. Sherotze La'asos Es HaAdam Mishuga Mamish Chas V'Shalom. Bosai, you have to understand, what the Yetzirah wants to do is, Yetzirah wants to make me Meshuggah. How does the Yetzirah wants to make me Meshuggah? You know, the Gemara Maseches Sota says, Ein Adam Chote, El Imke Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtus. A person only sins if a wave of stupidity, of silliness comes over them. Well, I'll give you a simple mashal. So if a person takes out, you know, a piece of ledger paper, and you draw two columns, and on one side you write, you write a particular chait on top. Whatever, you fill in the sin. Whatever the sin is, you put the sin on the top of the ledger. And one side is pros, right? Reasons to sin. And one side is cons. Which side always wins out? Alright, took you too long to answer that. Cons always win out. Why? Well, say, because the truth is, remember, whatever benefit I'm going to get from chait, and there are, let's be honest, there are definitely benefits from sin. There could be material benefits, there could be pleasure benefits, there's definitely benefits. It's fooling ourselves to say that there's no benefit in sin, but the benefits of sin are far outweighed by the collateral damage, for the simple reason that any benefit of sin will be limited and temporal, whereas often the fallout of sin could be potentially eternal. When you just measure those two things against each other, it's clear that sin does not make sense. So if sin doesn't make sense, if I'm a rational being and sin doesn't make sense, so why do I do it? Why do I do it? So says the Gemara, because, and Ruach Shtos, because what happens? Because before we sin, we don't usually take out a piece of ledger paper. Before we sin, we usually just act on impulse. So therefore, again, that's called Ruach Shtos. The Gemara says, just understand that whenever you sin, after 120, when I come up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Gemara, you could plead temporary insanity. You could plead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but you did that every day. Okay, it was insane for a few minutes every single day. That's Ella in Adam Chote Ella Imke Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtos. So the Yetzirah tries to make me Meshuggah. The Yetzirah tries to make me crazy, tries to make me irrational, tries to get me not to think. So look what he writes. Look what he writes. He says, Kibala Veiru Meshuggah, Kimo Shamur Azal, in Adam Ovra Veiru, Ella Imke Nichnas Ruach Shtos. So I will say, so now, I'm not endorsing the next statement, but says, everyone knows that the way to deal with crazy people is to hit them. Now, what Rabbi Nachman is referring to, is you know that it used to be conventional wisdom that people who were insane, you could slap them out of it, right? That Mamish, like, you could just you could hit them. What he's also referring to is that sometimes, and again, I'm sorry, electroshock therapy, or sometimes the truth is, and again, I'm not advising that you try this either. You know, sometimes someone just needs a good slap. To go ahead, I've had this temptation many a time. I right? just needs a good slap to say, snap out of it. What's the matter with you? What are you doing? So the Rebbe says something amazing. The same way that somebody who's a little bit mashuga, they need a zetz, they need a little slap to snap them out of it. He says, HaTorah kimokim, I'm sorry, So here's the amazing part. We have the ability to get that little zetz, to get that little slap, but to snap us out of our sinful stupor. And what is that little slap? What is that little zetz? That's Torah. That's when you learn Rabbos. And by the way, you should know, I'm going to tell you in just a moment, this is not Rabbi Nachman's Oran. This is actually Mefurush Gemara, as we'll just see in a moment. It is through Torah that we're able to go ahead and humble the Yetzirah. Umargishin min ha'adam es ha'shiga, excuse me, umegarshin min ha'adam es ha'shiga on, v'aruach shtos shenichnas bo. And sometimes when you get a little slap of Torah into you, it's able to chase away the craziness. It's able to chase away the shigaon, the craziness of sin, the craziness of the Yetzirah. Bechinas umachinalei be'ilavsa l'chaki galei shema. So what you should know, the Gemara actually says that, the Gemara Masechet Brachos says that if a person finds himself overwhelmed by the Yetzirah, so what does the Gemara suggest? Mashchehu lebeis hamedrash. Mashchehu lebeis hamedrash. And that's true, Abosai. You know, sometimes when a person is struggling with something, there's something amazing when you open up a sefer and you read a few words of Torah, or you open up a sefer and tell me you read a few words, there's a certain level of tranquility that comes back. There's a certain level of tranquility that it's able to restore. And that's what the Rebbe is saying. So if we go back, we can plug this into the Gemara, and it turns out that the Rebbe gives us an incredible piece of advice for life. So now go back up to paragraph A. Let's read it in the Gemara just once more. Says the Rebbe, Rav Bar Chana says, "Hai gola dematba l'sinta." This wave, the Rebbe says. So what's the wave? The wave is the Yetzer Hara. The wave is the Yetzer Hara, and the wave wants to drown my boat. What's the boat? The Sina. The boat is me, right? The boat is me. And remember again, the boat has a hold. The boat has a cargo area representing all of the wonderful things that I have accrued and I have acquired and I've built up in life. But the wave wants to capsize me. What's problem number one? Mischazi kitzutzi sidinuri chavarta bereisha. Problem number one is often I don't see the wave as being something destructive. Sometimes the wave looks so enticing, the wave looks so beautiful, the wave looks so pretty, sometimes even holy. And it's so enticing. And I'm so enamored by the wave that what happens? As it's getting closer and closer, I say, ooh, ah, so beautiful, so wonderful, so exciting. And every little bit that it says, I don't realize that my boat is about to capsize. Says Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, what's the strategy for fighting the Yetzer Hara? Machinon lei bi'ilovsa d'chakik alei eya she'eya. The only way to humble the wave is to beat it back with a stick, the vavs. The stick represents what? The stick represents Torah, right? Because again, the lafsa, two vavs, the luchos were vav arkon, six amos in length, six amos in height. Entire Torah is v'imot v'kadosh baruch hu. It's only if you beat back the wave with Torah that a person has the ability to overcome the Yitzhah. So Bosei Rabbi Nachman tells us, therefore, the next time we find ourselves tempted by something, the next time we find ourselves, you know, in difficult straits, literally again, that I feel that my boat is about to be turned off course, the Rebbe says the power is open up a sefer. Open up a sefer. And a person learns for a few moments, a person learns a couple of words, sometimes that makes all the difference in the ability to steady the ship and the ability to keep it on course. All right, we'll stop over here. Shkoyach. So it's the next week, Yemir Tzah Hashem Pesach. Next week, Pesach.